folks, time to talk some Oregon hoops now in his 13th season behind the mic, if my math is correct, as the voice of Oregon women's basketball, also instrumental in the broadcast of Oregon football. You can follow along on Twitter. The handle is at Terry Johns. TJ joins us. So, how are things with you these days, TJ?
It is fantastic. You know, everything's good with Ductum and the athletic department, the women's basketball. It's Christmas Day for football, so it's a good day.
Sure is. So last night, nearly 9,000 fans on hand, a Tuesday night in December, the number four team here in Eugene. You've done some very substantial events from the conference, NCAA tournament, big-time bowl games. How special was that atmosphere and just overall electrifying nature last night at the arena?
Well, that was pretty much it. I think maybe the Pac-12 tournament up in Seattle last year, the Ducks winning that, going back to the year before when there were 10,000 Husky fans up there thinking they were going to win, and the Ducks knocked them out with Kelsey Plum and company. That was a pretty big deal. But as far as a home game, I think that had to be it last night. The atmosphere, as you said, was just electric. That place was just rocking. You could tell the players were fired up. The coaches were fired up. The officials got fired up because of the coaches were so fired up. But it was a high-level basketball. I mean, that was like Final Four matchup that you wouldn't be surprised to see that in the NCAA tournament or maybe even for the championship. That's just how good it was.
You know, before we get to that win, I want to flash back the trips to Michigan State and Brookings, South Dakota, because they were really tough non-conference road games. And the way the team bounced back after the MSU loss, fell behind against the Jackrabbits, rallied to win. You spoke with Coach Graves about it. How much did the team benefit from those road challenges?
You know, sometimes you got to suffer a loss before you really start buying into what the coaches are telling you. Just my observation, I think that's kind of what happened. Not that you want to get a loss. You hope they learn the lessons without losing. But that Michigan State loss, I think, really taught them a lot. Now, they didn't look great for probably 2.5 quarters against South Dakota State a few days later, although they practiced really well in between. Looked like maybe, okay, message was sent. But I think they were seeing maybe back-to-back losses coming their way at South Dakota State. And you've got Sabrina Ionescu, who's not going to let you lose if at all possible. But I think the rest of the team then followed along, and then it carried over to Mississippi State last night. I'm not sure they would have gotten that Mississippi State win if you want to go back to the Michigan State loss, where that lesson was learned and then almost had to learn it again in Brookings, South Dakota. But you know, unfortunately, sometimes you gotta get a loss before you really go, okay, we think we're playing hard, and they are playing hard. You know how athletics are. You think you're playing hard, but then sometimes somebody has to push you, whether it's a coach, whether it's a teammate and the leader of the team like Sabrina Ionescu, that gets you to take that next step. And that's what happened last night. It was good to see.
You know, obviously we live here in Pac-12 country, and you know, terrific venues. You know, Michigan State, obviously, from Magic and Judd Heathcote to what Tom Izzo has built. But that venue, the Frost Arena in South Dakota State, Brookings, I mean, I'm guessing that was your first trip, but that seemed like a really unique little setting with some really passionate fans.
Oh, absolutely. Actually, I was there 10 years ago when the Bev Smith was coaching.
Oh, okay.
We went back there, and it was a team that went 32-3 and lost by 2 points in the field of 32 to get into the Sweet 16. That's how good they were.
Whoa.
We were down a player, Nia Jackson. In fact, Nia on the staff now, we were talking about that, if she remembered visiting 10 years ago, and she had torn her knee in Italy, the foreign trip in August, and also Taylor Lilly was in those days, and Taylor missed that game, and the Ducks got down by something like 29 points right off the bat, had to fight back just to make it a respectable, and so we knew what it could be like. And then Kelly Graves took a couple of Gonzaga teams Played them twice, once in Spokane and then once there, and with Courtney Vandersloot was in her heyday playing as a Zag, and they went in there and lost by four in overtime. So he knew, and he said, he's at the post game, he said, you know, I swore I'd never take another team in here because I know what a snake pit it is. Because you're right, it's a little gym, about 6,000 it holds, and they had like 2,500, 2,800, and it was loud. You could have thought you were in a huge arena. It was just difficult. And of course, it's a small town, about, I don't know, 50,000 people. In fact, less than that. It's about 30,000, 12,000 is the students. And so everybody's into it. The students actually were gone. They had just finished their finals. So that was just the community that was there, and they're awesome. Into it. You know, they're supporting their Jackrabbits as they should be. And by the way, Frost Arena is named after a gentleman whose nickname is Jack Frost. It's and he's got his PhD in physical education from the University of Oregon back in 1958, if my memory serves. And then he went there and started a curriculum in the physical education there and was an athletic director and a coach there. So there was an Oregon tie. It was kind of interesting with the arena. But it's a unique place. And actually a very nice campus, just out in the middle of nowhere, though, about an hour away from Sioux Falls, South Dakota, in South Dakota. It's kind of a unique place and a very tough place to play. Aaron Johnson's been the head coach there for 19 years, yep. And nobody's been able to pry him away from there. Every time there's a job opening, Division One, that they seem to have his name on his list, and nobody's been able to get him out of there yet. And he has some very good program and some very good teams.
We're talking with Terry Johns. You know, I was listening to the pregame driving in, and I love what Coach told you. They have to do more than butt box out MSU's inside force, Tierra McGowan. You know, I don't know if it was making her work defending the pick and roll or just the job Ruthie Hebert and the help did. I mean, how brilliant was their game plan for her and the execution in limiting the damage she did?
Yeah, that was excellent game plan. Mark Campbell, associate head coach, kind of the defensive guru, and he came up with that plan. I heard him talking about it before we even left South Dakota, as a matter of fact, looking ahead after that game. And I kind of knew they were going to do something unique, a box and one, that type of deal. It worked out pretty well. Now, you needed Ruthie Hebert to step up defensively. And she did. I mean, she got very physical, and you could tell Tierra McGowan wasn't used to somebody playing her like that, and she got frustrated. And then you combine that with what you mentioned, having to cover the pick and roll, hedging out, and then trying to recover. That wore Tierra McGowan out, and they took her out the last 6 minutes. She was pretty much ineffective, and I could see sitting down there right by the bench that she was absolutely gassed from doing everything, and she had nothing left to give, and Ruthie was still going. So that was a credit to the game plan and then the execution of the game plan by the team. And it I think helps too that they played against somebody like Tierra McGowan the last 2 years, two or three years ago in Hawaii, and then last year down in Starkville. And it's interesting, he talked about you can't butt block them, and that's what they tried to do last year. In fact, I watched the recording of the game yesterday morning, and I could see the Ducks with Ruthie Hebert and Mallory McGuire trying to do that, and you couldn't move her. And you had to do what Ruthie did last night, and, you know, elbows in the back and try and push her out, get some leverage, and push her away from the basket. And it worked very well last night.
Yeah, no, she was focused from minute one. Got a hit on Taylor Chavez, I mean, the true freshman. I mean, right from the get-go, Terry, just she stuck her nose in there on defense. She handled the ball when needed. She had that beautiful teardrop, played a career-high 29 minutes. I mean, just how about her tenacity and coming up so big on that stage?
Yeah, you know, she's not Sabrina Ionescu yet, but she has some Sabrina Ionescu in her as far as willing to compete. You can just see that. In fact, it's an interesting story. I remember asking Kelly Graves, you could talk to him sometime about it too, but he said the first time he saw Taylor Chavez, I think it was after her freshman year and after Sabrina's junior year playing in club ball in the summer, and they went, their teams played each other,
yep,
and they guarded each other. And something like Sabrina went for 35 and Taylor went for 30. So she was not afraid. And so he kept her eye on her, and you could see that last night. I mean, and on the defensive end as well, she has some enough speed and quickness about her that she was able to take Bibby out, their three-point shooter, at 10 points at halftime, only had two in the second half, and a lot of that down the stretch was because of Taylor Chavez's defense. And might mention Audie Gilden as well down the stretch, coming off the bench, didn't even score, didn't even take a shot, had five rebounds, but was very instrumental coming off the bench defensively and played about 20 minutes.
Yeah, I thought she was a classic case of forget the stat sheet, that won't tell you her impact. Couple final thoughts for Terry Johns, the voice of Oregon Women's Hoops. I know the nature of this offense is to spread the floor, be patient, but even for this Duck team, it seemed they were extra patient. You know, they would set screens, then they would reset. They really didn't take any bad shots. You got the sense that the coaches got it through to them. We cannot have any wasted possessions tonight.
Yeah, especially against that pressure. I mean, you credit Maite and Sabrina for handling that pressure, especially Maite bringing the ball up the floor, because you know the on-ball pressure you were going to get from Mississippi State. They have tremendous athletes, and you can't, you know, when they want to get you in a hurry up. They want you to hurry up and panic a little bit. And, you know, credit to Maite and to Sabrina that they didn't do that. But and then you want to make them play defense for a lot of the clock. And especially Tierra McCowan, as we talked about, that having to come out and play that pick and roll, and it wore her out. So it worked to perfection. The game plan worked to perfection, and it only works to perfection if the players execute it properly, and they did.
You know, you mentioned Maite, and I know Sabrina is magnificent. I mean, with the 17 free throws and just the way she wills this team. We talked about Heber, just a fantastic performance. But, you know, Cazorla, sometimes it seemed like she was a one-woman press breaker. She uses picks, drives to the bucket, just turned the ball over once for all she handled it. I mean, sometimes, you know, your best player, maybe your young players, but in a game like that, how nice was it kind of from the get-go to have your senior leader kind of set the tone?
Yeah, and she's been like that for 4 years. You know, even going back to her freshman year, she made the all-women's NIT team when the Ducks made it to the semifinals and it ended in South Dakota. But Maite was a true freshman and getting to play with Jillian Aileen at that time, although that's the year Jill went down with a knee injury right at the end. But then without her, they made a run almost getting to the final game of the women's NIT. And people kind of forget that she was made the all-tournament team there. And a lot of people would ask me, boy, what's the difference? What's the difference? And I said, Maite. Now, Jillian Aileen's got somebody that she can move around and she can get her the ball in the right place. And I remember Jillian Aileen talking about, even back then, she knows I'm open before I know I'm open. And, you know, you can kind of look at Sabrina Ionescu, who's like that now as well, but then you have Maite. And Maite's just, I don't know the number, around 30 assists away from breaking the program record. But Maite has, you know, she had to adjust. A lot of the European players have talked to Satu Sabali about it too, but I remember Maite saying when she first came, you know, what's the difference between playing over in Spain and in Europe? And, you know, it's the speed, but it's also the physicality that is played here in the United States. And last night was a perfect example of somebody trying to defend her very physically and her able to handle it. And as you mentioned, with just one turnover, she's a phenomenal player and a very underrated player. And except around the people who in the program, they know, her teammates know, and especially Sabrina Ionescu is probably Maite's biggest fan, because she takes a lot of the pressure off of Sabrina having to take the ball up against pressure, and then Sabrina can kind of take it into the half court and not waste all of her energy bringing it up the floor. But Maite is just an underrated player. She likes to be that way though too. She doesn't want any of the limelight, and she just enjoys playing the game, and is, like Coach has said, she's the most important player on this team.
Well, she deserves the limelight, and I guarantee her blood pressure is really low because she's always calm among the mayhem. TJ, no rest for the weary. You got early games tomorrow and Friday. He's Terry Johns. He'll be behind the mic for all this, and who knows how deep into March. Follow him on Twitter, at Terry Johns. Terry, always appreciate the time to chat. Wishing you and yours a great Christmas, a fantastic 2019, and we'll definitely catch up soon.
All right, it was my pleasure, Steve. Happy holidays to you and yours as well.
All right, have a good one.